So last week we looked at how can we be strengthened in the inner man, the inner self, with power through the Holy Spirit. We talked about walking in the Spirit, taking each moment by moment, even the crisis moment, and letting Jesus be Lord over those moments. And even in those moments where we feel that we are overwhelmed, there is also this sense of overwhelming peace, despite the chaos. And that becomes evidence that Jesus has made his home. We've welcomed him, as we've talked about, into our lives, and we've made his home in our lives. He has made home in our lives, and I so praise God for that. And we got as far as verse 17 in our passage from Ephesians 3. I did well to get through three verses, to be honest, but let's carry on, see how far we get today. Ephesians 3, verse 17. The second part of that verse says this. This confirms that Jesus has made his home in our lives. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And this week, in our first week of our 21 days of prayer, we've sought to encourage you to allow God's presence to be so real and evident in your life as it has been already this morning, to know the reality of Jesus through the Holy Spirit dwelling in your hearts and lives. And I hope not just here today, but you found that time to know the reality of God's presence. I could ask for lots of examples. You just had a very perfect example, haven't we? There's, you know, I'm sure there are examples this week of where you have known God's presence. I was walking from here, from my house to Bearwood for a meeting at St. Mary's Church, and I had a 30-minute walk, and I realized that I'd messed up my time slots on my prayer chain, and I was going to have to do my walk praying. And as I was prayer walking my 30-minute walk from here to Bearwood, just praying hope over every of the buildings that I went past. And just God saying, he is a God of hope. Things might look hopeless. There were shops that I looked at and thought, Lord, this seems hopeless, but you can bring hope. There's actually a shop as you walk past that actually promotes witchcraft. It does. And I said, Lord, pour out your hope. There's schools, key schools in that area. Some of my kids go to those schools. They pour out hope amongst that school. And the presence of God was so real. As I walked in a street where you perhaps wouldn't say the presence of God seems evident, it was evident. And I know that you have had those moments. So I had a moment this week where a group of leaders, we kept faithfully meeting as Samwell Church leaders through COVID and even before that, where maybe four or five people would get together. We had our first in-person meeting. There were 14 of us at that meeting. New people that have come into the area, into our borough, planting churches, wanting to see God's presence. God is on the move. I sense a turning to God. I sense a returning to God. And all that's come from just one seven-day block of prayer where we've said, Lord, just bring your presence. Just come. And he comes. So this week, we're changing our focus slightly. We're seeking God for a renewed vision for our lives, for our church, for our community, and for whatever place we put our feet. But always remember that the key for that always is his presence. Because if his presence is not with us, it's not his vision we will seek, it's our vision. And from his vision, we will get to do God's work. That's our final week. We'll get to do God's business. And that's what we're praying about. But always remember, these are linked. You know, vision follows presence. Action follows vision. But action always requires presence. And this is a never-ending circle. It's not going to be 21 days. It's going to be part of our life forever. And we need vision. So this week's focus is vision, and we need it. Proverbs 29:18 tells us that without a vision, people perish. And I love the way the Message version puts this. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So we need a revelation of what God wants. Without that, we are stumbling. Without that, we are perishing. And we talked last week also about this final few verses of Ephesians 3 being like a transition, that we've moved from the place where we know our identity is in him, that we are in him, and we're moving into a new series or a new session. We might do this as a series at some point, I don't know, but Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, it's that what is our response to what we have learned in those first three chapters. And we said that this passage is somewhat of an ignition passage. This is the passage where we step out from what we know, from the knowledge that we've received, from the wonderful knowledge that our identity is in Christ, to how we are going to live for Christ. But it starts with the ignition. It starts with the Spirit of God at work in our lives. And this passage, though, is also key for the topic we're talking about today, God's vision for our lives. It's key to follow His ways and not our way. And we talked last week again about the need to walk in the Spirit. I think this week we want to talk a little bit about how we build, how we rebuild. And I'm sure God wants to build His work in our lives, His work in this church, and of course starting with His presence. But we need fresh revelation. We need vision of who He is. We need to know how we should respond. And that's why we're here. This is, as I said, not a one-off experience. This isn't an instant thing. This is going to require time. And this 21 days is not the solution. It's not what are we going to build, Lord. At the end of it, we're going to go, yes, we know what we're doing. This 21 days is a starting point. To say, Lord, bring Your presence. Give us fresh vision. Show us what to do. So when we build something, when we start something, let's look at these verses from Ephesians 3, verse 17, halfway through verse 17, going to the end of verse 19. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So to get this vision, where do we start? We start by being rooted and grounded in love. Now, I'm no botanist. I don't know my trees very well. But even a city dweller like me knows that trees need roots. Roots are the important part of a tree. If we don't have those roots, the tree completely falls over. And the roots of the tree are what gives that tree its identity. If you have an oak tree root, the tree is going to be an oak. I'm waiting for a response here. The tree is going to be an oak tree, yeah. If you have an apple tree root, the tree is going to be... It's like primary school, isn't it? It's great, yeah. This is primary school stuff, you know. But even my limited knowledge of trees tells me that that's what's going to happen. And I also know, limited, again, very limited knowledge, but the root of the tree is where it gets all its nourishment. The root takes its life from the ground and it becomes the tree that it is supposed to be. Paul does something very helpful for city dwellers like me. He also talks about being grounded. And many of you know that buildings will go up, but actually, first of all, they go down. They go into the ground. They build a foundation. And everything that that building is built upon that foundation. This is what Paul's saying. Everything you are building in your life is built on a foundation. That foundation is the love of Christ. They are the foundation. That is the foundation of your building. It's the root of your tree. And you might be really eager to start building right now. And I be honest, I'm desperate to build something here at Raglan Road for God's kingdom. Build something that will change and transform lives. And actually, that doesn't come from these bricks and mortars here. We've got plenty of bricks and mortars. The church in this area in Smethwick has lots of buildings available to us. And in fact, I'm working on a project with Samuel Church's Link called Opening New Doors, because we've got too many buildings. And we're asking God to show us how do we use our buildings, opportunity to use them. But this isn't about a physical building. This is not about this building or the other buildings that we own. This is different. This is building in our lives. Building things in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Building something that will change lives for eternity. That is what we want to build. Something that goes on forever. But before we build, we start with the question, where are our roots? Where is our foundation? And if we as people and as a church want to build something that will last, we need to make sure our roots are firmly and deeply in the love of Christ. Let's be clear about this. Everyone has a root in something. Let's say your roots are in having security. If your roots are in having security, all your goals, all your aspirations, all your ambitions, even your relationships, the vision for your life will be affected by your root need for security. So if I'm going to build a vision and strategy for my life based on security, what's going to happen? I'm going to keep people around me who make me feel safe and secure. My relationships are going to be with those that make me feel safe. I'm not going to take any risks. I'm going to keep what wealth I might have, limited wealth that I might have, to accumulate. I want to keep the comforts I need. I'm not going to be generous with others because I can't afford to lose anything because security has become my root. And the fruit of that life will be maybe a nice, safe life. But I don't believe that is God's intention for your life. And in fact, I believe that fruit will rot. Because the fruit that comes from the root of the love of Christ is the fruit that will last forever. You could have the root of wanting to be accepted. You want people to like you. You want people to recognize all that you do, and you're seeking some kind of legacy. You might have the root of power. I need power. I want to control things. I want things my way. The problem is these are like roots of an already diseased tree. In fact, these roots are so shallow, I'm not even sure we can call them roots. But the roots for us as followers and carriers of Jesus Christ, they're found in the love of Jesus Christ that is high, that is wide, that is deep, that is long, that effectively is infinite. Those are deep, deep roots. They're rooted in the eternal. They're rooted in the infinite. And that's where we get our food. That's where we get our nourishment. We're soaking up the nutrients from the ground, and our nutrients is this richness of the love of Jesus Christ. Wow. There is no other richer nutrient than that for your roots. So we get, with the love of Christ, these deep, long, high, wide. I don't know if you can get deep and high and wide, long roots. It's just roots. We get roots. They're infinite. They go on forever. And when these roots are deep, we know that when the storms come in, these roots are strong because they're in the love of Christ. And that's where our roots as a church need to be. So when the storm comes in, when leaves fall, that will happen. When seed gets scattered elsewhere, when branches fall, and let's be honest with ourselves, let's say it, our church is currently experiencing loss. This is not the number that we had before. When fruit that we have grown gets picked off by others, that will happen. In God's kingdom and economy, that actually doesn't matter one jot, but it will happen. It makes, you know, people will struggle with that. We will struggle with that. But whether it's us as individuals or as a body of God's people in here in Cape Hill, what do we have? We have the root of Christ's love. And whatever happens in this place, and I could start singing now, but one thing remains. Your love never fails. It never runs out. Never gives up. Because we have those roots. We have that grounding. These are deep, deep, everlasting roots. And I think with these roots, we have something, I think, of beginnings of what God is saying about our church. This, one of the things I think of, perhaps a vision for this place, a vision for our church, for our calling here to Cape Hill, Smethwick, and the area around us, is that we are called to be a faithful church. The roots of God's love allow us to be faithful. And we need to be a sticking around kind of church. Now, that's not saying you have to stick around. Please, you know, I'm not saying this is, please stay, please stay. But we as a church need to be a church that sticks around. Because a neighborhood like ours needs a church that sticks around. It needs to have a faithful church. A faithful church rooted in the love of Christ. And I'll say these words, and maybe you might be, I don't know, you might get offended. I hope not, but I'll say them anyway. The community does not need a church that's rooted in its past. It does not need a church that's rooted in its heritage or its past normality. However wonderful and amazing that might have been, and how impactful that was on your life, that is not where we're going to put our roots. It does not need, this church does not, this community does not need a church that's rooted in some model. And most of the models we know probably come from middle class white areas of Bible believing, Bible belt areas of America. That is not the root that we need. It's not what this community needs. It doesn't need a church that's rooted in trying to be trendy and relevant, and thank goodness for that. Look at me. Although the olive green trend is obviously, I can see it's Dylan, David, well done. We're not a church that's seeking to be get our roots in being trendy or relevant. Maybe this is controversial as well. I'm saying it's on YouTube. Anyway, sorry, my brothers and sisters in my Anglican Baptist churches, but I'm going to say this. The community does not need a church that's rooted in a denomination or a tradition that tells us what to do, or a tribe that controls. The community needs a church rooted in the love of Jesus Christ, because that means that we will be faithful, faithful to the end. We won't be told, and this saddens me because I'm seeing it in my brothers and sisters in denominations, we won't be told by the Church of England or by the Methodist Church that we're no longer needed, that we are no longer viable. That's happening right now here in Smethwick. You're no longer viable, but we are a faithful church. And we will be here regardless of storms, regardless of the cost, regardless of the economic viability, because that's what some of the churches that are closing are being closed for, because they're not economically viable. How sad is that? We are a faithful church rooted in the love of Christ. And God has blessed this church. Despite maybe this might look reduced, our income's gone up. God has blessed this church immeasurably. Our properties are all mortgage-free. We are debt-free. We've got some reserves. We've got some money set aside for some projects. Wow. And you know why? Because God is not finished with us. God has got a plan for us. He's wanting to build something. And I believe he's wanting to build something because the people who are here are rooted in the love of Christ. It's been so evident this morning. We're not rooted in security. It's evident because I've seen the Christ likeness in your generosity. And he's not finished with us. He has a plan. Because we are rooted and grounded in his love. We're ready to build. Are you ready to build? We've got a light party next week. And I tell you what, I want to have a party. I want to celebrate. It's great to celebrate. Let's celebrate that we're going to start building. We're going to build and grow. And in a sense, all of us here are called to be builders. We're called to be planters. Maybe we can all call ourselves church planters. We are trying to seek to build expressions of who God is wherever we lay our feet. And as people who plant churches, we are called to lay down roots in the love of Christ for him then to build his church. Because when God builds his church, no scheme of man, no gates of hell will prevail. They will not win. They are already the losers. They're already on the losing side. We are the winners because we are building what God wants us to build in this place. We need to stop trying to build our own tree. It's not your job to try and bear your own fruit and then go and say to Jesus, look at what I have done. Look at this shiny, wonderful fruit. Please do love me. Please be the root of my life. That is completely the wrong way round. But I'm guilty of that. I think we do it sometimes. We seek to build our own tree. We seek to have our own fruit and make it shiny and say, look, Jesus, look at what I've done. He just says, I love you. But I want to be the root of your life. I want you to know that I am already the root. It's not your job to make the tree look good. It's not your job to think, is this bearing enough fruit? Is it tall enough? Is it holy enough? Is it religious enough? You're not building your own tree. You're allowing the love of God to be the roots of your life and let him build his tree in your life. You know, the love of Jesus precedes any kind of fruit. The tree that's being built here is not because of what you've done, what you have done. The tree that God is building in your life is because of Calvary. It's because of what God did for you on Calvary through Jesus Christ. The love shown on the cross. That is the core. That is the foundation of your life. The foundation of the building that you're going to be doing in your life. And we need that because unless we have those roots, when the storms come, when the temptations come, when the failure comes, when the condemnation comes, those trees fall. But who you are is not defined by your accomplishments. It's what God has done for you. Your roots are in the love of God. And that means how you see yourself is influenced by what Christ did for you on the cross. And it also means this, how you see other people is influenced by the cross. How you see the hurting, the lost, the dying. How you see your spouse, how you see your kids, how you see your employer. You have new eyes. You have new vision because of your new roots. Deep in the love of Christ. Deep in that event of Calvary that showed you how much God loves you. If you're rooted in some need for security or some need for acceptance, then at best your tree will be diseased. Or actually, it'll just be completely uprooted straight away. The first breeze of a trial will come along and it will knock you down. We need to be rooted in the love of Christ. You may want to say, yeah, you know, I want to be rooted in good doctrine. And yes, it's good to be grounded in correct doctrine. But if it doesn't flow out of the love of Christ, it just becomes dogma. Yes, it's good to be grounded in holy living. But if it isn't fueled by the love of Christ, it just becomes a legalism. It's good to be grounded in the gifts of the Spirit, yes. But if it's not rooted in love, it just becomes sensationalism and becomes shallow. Everything in our Christian life is motivated by the love of Jesus Christ. The fruit we produce comes from the fact that our tree, our life, is rooted and grounded in his love. And what's interesting in this passage also is, as I'm coming to an end, this is Paul's prayer. This isn't Paul's command. This is what Paul is praying for the church. And I find that interesting, that it's a prayer, not a command. It flows together. It flows from the passage that says we are strengthened in the inner person. It flows from the passage that tells us that Christ dwells in our hearts. It flows to the fact, yes, that we have roots and foundations in the love of Christ that we're focused on this morning. It flows into the fullness of God. It flows into the abundance of what God wants us to do. And I'm not going to go there. You'll be glad to know, because that'll be another 20 minutes. But we start by allowing Christ in. We allow his presence in. We let his life be a dwelling place in our lives. We talked this morning a little bit about welcoming him, and he's in our lives, he's in our hearts. And I would just want to challenge you this morning to let him into every room in your life. Every room. And you might think about your house right now, and some rooms in your house that you may not want to let other people in. They might be messy, they might be untidy. And there might be rooms in your life that you don't want to let people in. And if you have a messy room, an untidy room in your life, not in your house, in your life, I want you to let Jesus in. Because when you let Jesus into that room, he tells you this. He says, I love you. And he says, I love you this high, this wide, this long, this deep. You need to let God into the mess. Not just the rooms you want him to see, but the rooms that you know. Maybe a bit dirty. Maybe a bit unclean. Maybe a bit messy. Maybe a bit chaotic. Say, Jesus, come into that room. I need you in that room right now. And he tells you that he loves you. I'm going to invite Sam and the team just to come back up. And let's just let God in again this morning. I want to carry on the worship. As our life, our roots and our foundations are built on his love, let him come in. This passage says, this is God's vision for your life today. It says, know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So let each room be filled with the fullness of God right now. Can we just stand together? Those rooms that you feel may not have the full measure of God, just let God in. Let God in. That room might be empty. It might be void. Let God in and fill it. Whether it's dusty, dirty, unclean, let God in and fill it. Whether it's neglected, let God in and fill that room. Let the Spirit come. Fill those rooms, the dark rooms in your life right now. Be filled with the light of God. Hallelujah. Full of the presence of God. Oh, Jesus. And as he fills those rooms, he fills your house. That Christ may dwell in your heart. Hallelujah, by faith. Hallelujah. Let him fill your room, fill your house. And as he fills, let your house start to overflow. Just feel God saying, we don't start building until there's an overflow. But the overflow starts by allowing God in. Hallelujah. And if there are some no entry signs on your room that no one can go in, just rip off the sign. Let Jesus in right now. Let him show you the height and the breadth and the width and the depth of his love. Hallelujah. Receive the fullness of God into that room right now. And as you are starting to be filled with the Spirit of God, let it overflow. Let God build his church through the overflow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's keep receiving from God right now. Ask God for his fullness right now as we worship him. Hallelujah.